Unretiring in your golden years. How countries are redefining what it means to grow old. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig, and for Anu Anand, good morning. We start in North Korea, though, where a new United Nations report says Kim Jong-un's leadership has trapped the population in a vicious cycle of deprivation, corruption, and repression. Dan Collins from the UN Office for Human Rights told the BBC North Koreans risked imprisonment for what people in many other countries would consider ordinary activities.
Any attempt to access information, particularly from countries such as South Korea, even watching a movie or listening to some music from South Korea, they end up in a political prison camp for these kind of very innocuous activities. So I think it was the level of repression that goes on there, which was shocking.
He said the country's human rights record must be part of any talks or negotiations with the North Korean regime.
The human rights element really needs to be integrated into these high-level negotiations. The leadership of North Korea have their own incentives to emerge from diplomatic isolation, to have access to the global economy. They have their own incentives in terms of regime survival. But what the UN Human Rights Office is emphasizing is that the human rights concerns need to be integrated.
Dan Collins there. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are higher, though Italian assets and the euro are struggling after Italy's deputy prime minister said Brussels could impose a multi-billion-dollar fine for the country's rising debt levels that breach EU rules. Climate change is a big issue for voters around the world. That was highlighted in Europe this week, where green parties had their biggest ever showing in the European Parliament elections. Amid that growing appetite for more earth-friendly policies, the fourth annual European Climate Change Adaptation Conference kicks off in Lisbon today. It's where we find the BBC's Alison Roberts.
The aim of the gathering is to foster collaboration between experts from various fields to help find better ways to adapt to the challenges posed by climate change, such as more frequent flooding or extreme wildfires. Speakers include the European Union's Commissioner for Aid and Crisis Management and international officials working to build resilience to disaster. Business leaders from sectors with a vested interest in the issues, such as insurance, will also take part. Participants will consider how to assess the success of adaptation measures and how to involve the private sector and individuals to improve and implement them.
Alison Roberts. They're often called the silver tsunami, but rather than flowing out of the workforce in droves, as once feared, older workers are flooding into the labor market, bucking the longstanding trend of retiring at 65. Sue Cutler is in that group. In her mid-70s, she has an office job logging data, sending correspondence, and answering the phones. She doesn't do it for the money. It's just something to keep her busy.
In 2013, my husband died suddenly, and I haven't got any other dependents, and so I just continued working. It was, it sort of started a form of therapy for me for that, but I do really enjoy working, having the structure of working, getting up in the morning, knowing that I've got to, you know, get ready, go to work. And then because of that, I actually enjoy my days off. But no, I have no intentions to retire just yet, though. As long as I'm doing a good job, I'm happy with that. It makes me feel good.
Before the end of the decade, there will be more people in the world over 65 than under 5 years old. That's according to Camilla Cavendish, author of a new book, Extra Time, 10 Lessons for an Aging World. She explains how different countries are helping people grow old gracefully.
In Japan, I visited a silver center, which is something that was created in the 1970s by a group of retired professors who decided that they didn't want to stop working. And Japan's silver centers take people from the age of 60 and over, because Japan has a mandatory retirement age, and give them part-time work. So the oldest member is 101 and looking after a historic building in Fukui. And the women I met are sitting around a giant table, like a sort of kindergarten, actually making things for local businesses. So they're doing things like gift wrapping or putting things together that actually save local businesses time. There's lots of examples from other countries. So if you go to Singapore, they have got something called Skills Future, which funds people to do lifelong learning. You have a voucher, essentially, which you can use at any age. You can use it at 90 to learn a new skill. And Singapore believes that actually that is part of making people feel useful to society, which will keep them healthier in the long run.
So, Camilla, is it a matter of when we think of older workers, is it that we just need to adjust our thinking and stop lumping everyone from 60 to 100 in one category?
That's very much what I'm arguing, yes. And I was a bit alarmed by some of the companies I interviewed to discover that everyone over 50 is pretty much lumped together in one category. That's where the data is. And at the moment, we have a definition of working age population, which stops at 64. And of course, a lot of the economic trends, the dire economic forecasts, are based on the idea that everyone is going to stop work at 64 or earlier. In fact, one in four Brits and one in four Americans is now unretiring and going back to work, sometimes 5 years after they've retired. So yes, clearly we need to think very differently about some older people who are incredibly energetic and dynamic, and some of them are starting companies into their 70s.
Is part of changing our thinking also adapting to the idea that people should not retire at 65?
Yes. I mean, I think we've got two groups in society. We've got a group who are clearly wanting to work longer and capable of it. We do have another group who are getting older and frailer much earlier. There's a huge divergence now in healthy life expectancy. If we're not careful, we are going to find ourselves in a situation where we need a bigger and bigger welfare safety net to help people who become old, old, when everybody else is young, old. So we need to keep people working longer, but also we need to help one group become much, much healthier for longer.
Camilla Cavendish there. Her book, Extra Time, goes on sale in the US in January. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.